Come on, church. Where you're like, "Tow, whoa!" And you just, yikes. Whether you're crying, laughing, running around the church, like you shaking, you know, goosebumps, like, whoa. Something where you go, yo, okay. There's more here than meets the eye, right? The encounter, if you think about it in a very biblical kingdom sense, is really intended to shake us out of the mundane, just grinding out day by day, right? Because we how many folks got to grind out tomorrow? Amen. How many people are excited about going to work tomorrow? I didn't say you're not grateful for a job. How many people wake up in the morning and go, yeah, I get to work today? Probably nobody. You said yes, you're lying. All right? Come on, church. Right? We got to grind out. We got to grind some stuff out, right? And at times the Lord will just, I think the Lord just kind of just drops on us, whether it's at church or you're driving the car, whatever, in the shower, listening to music, whatever it might be. And he's like, hey, come on, man, get out of that rut. Amen. Trying to bump us out of that thing, saying there's more going on here than what you're getting, you know, pressed down into. Is that true? Amen. The encounter is to shake us out of these ruts that we get into, to show us that there's so much more than what we see, hear, taste, and touch. Pastor Jim would call the five senses, right? This way. Most of our lives were influenced by this. And God's saying, no, I want you to be influenced by this. Is that true?
Yes.
It's inside out living. What's the Holy Spirit doing in here? Let that come out. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to push back the gates of hell and claim all kinds of land from the devil. Oh, my bad. No, don't say that. So that you'll be able to do what, church? Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What are we talking about? The I ain't moving faith. You know what Paul says right there? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might so that you get some I ain't moving faith in you. I'm standing firm. I'm not backing up. I'm not being shaken. You growl and roar and bark and do whatever you want. Devil, I ain't moving. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to, let's say it together, church.
Resist.
Resist in the evil day. How many folks think we're living in an evil day? And having done everything, to what, church?
Stand firm.
Oh, another one. And here, verse 4, stand, third time. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, amen. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the fiery flaming arrows of the evil one. The evil one, church, not a demon. He's talking about the demon, Satan. Is that true? Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you'd open our hearts these next few moments, Lord. Help us to see your word. Help us to receive it, God. Father, we speak to the devil that wants to snatch this seed out of our soil, God. We speak to any other soil conditions, Lord, the rocky ground, the thorns, any of the care, worries and cares of the world, just any of that garbage right now, be still. And Lord, I just speak to every heart physically here online with us this morning that your heart is fertile ground to receive the word right now in Jesus' name. Here's our question for this series. We're going to do it again. Has God, is God, and will God protect you?
Yes.
Everyone say yes.
Yes.
But what we're getting at, I hope you're catching this, is sometimes is the how God protects us is what we don't like sometimes. Is that true? We had a great testimony. I'm not going to steal it. Someone texted me yesterday. They had, were almost in a really, really bad situation, and God supernaturally protected them physically, right? But what we see here, my beloved, is another way that God is protecting us. And what he's doing, as I said last week, is he's warning us, here's what's going on out there. Right? Just like when we send our children, as our children grow and we start letting them do things on their own, you know, kids are kids. They just go, ah, everything's fine. But we're, as parents, we understand, like, you need to watch some things. And so we're not trying to make them fearful. We're not trying to make them afraid. We're trying to make them aware. Is that true? We're trying to tell them to be alert. We're trying to tell them to be sober in their spirit. Right? We want to teach them to get out on their own and not have to rely on you know, helicopter parents. Right? The newest one's lawnmower parents. You guys heard that one? You just mow everything down in front of your kids so nothing bad happens to them. Dude. John Chris does a great bit, the Christian comedian. He goes, could you imagine if there was a draft right now, 18 to 25-year-olds? Yikes. We'd lose that war in a hurry. Man. Can I get an amen? What? Look that one up on YouTube. It's real funny. It's politically incorrect. That's why it's so funny. See, church, God, many times, I think more often than not, will protect us through instruction. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In this passage here, God in his sovereignty and wisdom is allowing a spiritual battle to rage on that will come to an end at some point. But God has chosen his army, and his army, my beloved, is us. I don't know about you, but if I was God, I would choose me. Yeah. Like, so we got demons and angels fighting. He's like, let's pick humans. Like, wait a second. That's command the Holy Spirit's like, are you sure? You want me to climb inside of that? He's like, I don't think this is going to work too well. The literally most inefficient possible way to fight this battle. But the Father says, yep, get in there. I'll clean them up for you. Then get in there and straighten them out. Is that all right, church?
Amen.
You know what God's telling us here? He's telling us to gear up. Right? My brother-in-law is in New York City today, is going to a concert for his birthday. And I was looking at the forecast. I said, you better gear up, bro. They got to walk like 6 blocks Brooklyn. It's cold up here, man. Anybody been to the city in the winter? It's like a wind tunnel down there, man. Just 50 mile an hour winds. Even if it's not windy anywhere else, it's always windy in New York, right? You got to gear up. This is what the Lord, Paul's telling us here. Look, man, here's what's going on out in the world. There is a battle going on, and the battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and against principalities, against world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. God said, here is what's going on, and it's going on because I'm allowing it to go on. And I'm sending you out. I thought about this morning. Jesus says what? I send you out as wolves among sheep. No! As sheep among wolves. Terrible idea. You're like a sheep. It's got to be the wimpiest, dumbest animal on the planet. And God is saying, I'm going to send you out among some of the most aggressive, well-organized, pack-hunting animals that love to eat sheep. Imagine being Jesus' disciples. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And they're like, wait a second. Did you get that backwards? Yeah. Sheep, huh? Okay. He says the next, very next verse, he says, so, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Huh. Church, if you think about this, many of us probably know this passage well, but think about this. God has not left us ill-equipped. The problem is that we are not equipping ourselves with the equipment that God has given us to be equipped with. He doesn't say, I'll put your armor on for you. He says, you put it on. You do it. Right? Come on, church. Well, Pastor, I'm getting attacked in my dream life. Anybody ever get attacked in your dream life? Well, stop taking the armor off when you go to bed. It's not real armor. That'd be awkward. Can I get amen? Right? I tell you what, just a little side note, if you're getting attacked in your dream life, I'd encourage you to examine what you're watching before you go to bed. I tell you what, there's certain things I just don't watch because I don't sleep well. Is that all right? Yep. Let's examine this a little bit. We're not going to preach on the whole armor here. We're going to get to a point because, again, we've been talking about living faith the last several weeks. And so verse 10, I want to examine verse 10, and then we're going to examine one more verse here. We'll get a video, a little clip up here to illustrate this with a visual. But verse 10, he says, be strong. Everybody say, in the Lord. Be strong. Say it again. In the Lord. So again, for several weeks now, we were looking at the difference between living faith and like gift faith, or like I said earlier this morning, event faith, right? Someone's sick. Pow, we need some gift faith, right? Boom, lay hands on them and they're better. Hopefully instantly, but we're going to believe they're going to recover either way. Is that right? What we're talking about, what Paul's talking about, church, is not that. This is the daily grind faith, right? I'm grinding this thing out every single day, and this is what I need to walk around in every day. This armor, this breastplate, the helmet, the shield, the sword, right? My feet shod with the gospel of peace, all these things, right? This is what Paul's talking about. So when he says, be strong in the Lord, the word in the Greek here means to be empowered. Not just strong, like, can I pick this, you know, can I pick heaven up? Right? It's not how strong am I. It's more, the Greek word is, you're being empowered to do something. In other words, to think about it like this. The Greek word literally means to be empowered or to be given authority or power to do something. Does that make sense? He's given, Paul's saying, be empowered. I'm going to give you the authority. God has given you the authority or the power to succeed in the given situation or circumstance. Paul, look at this, church. Paul doesn't say be strong in your own ability and how religious you can be. Or he doesn't say be strong in your intellect and how many scriptures you can quote. I love Francis Chan. If you guys ever pay any Francis Chan teaching, Francis Chan says, you know, the Bible doesn't say to memorize the Bible doesn't say to memorize the word of God, it says to do it.
Amen.
Right? I mean, I've met lots of folks who can quote the Bible. They ain't doing it though.
Right.
You don't get breakthrough by quoting, you breakthrough by doing it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Is that true?
Yes.
Paul's talking about faith here. Faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He's talking about taking God at his word in every area of life. Not just for an event, but for that daily living, right? That every day, by faith in the joy that's set before me, I take up my cross, deny myself, and follow Jesus. I understand that today, church, here's the thing. We should understand every day, we should get up and understand that today might bring you a storm that is not on your radar.
Right.
I mean, you might get thrown a curveball that you didn't see coming. Is that true?
Amen.
Anybody ever thought you're going to have a good day? And by noon, you're like, never mind. You know who saw that coming? It's God. Not only did God see that curveball coming or that storm coming, he allowed it to come. Why? Because he knows you can hit the curve. He knows exactly how much fire to allow in your life to burn up what needs to get burned up and leave what needs to be left. Is that true? No discipline is pleasant for the season. But if we endure it, that discipline, it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. How many people want that?
Amen.
That's what we all want, isn't it? But he says you got to go through some fire to get there. Is this true?
Yes, sir.
See, church, when we as we grow in our maturity and our understanding of God, what will happen is that we will know that God not only saw this event coming that we did not, he allowed it to come because he knew that that's exactly what I needed in that moment of my life to get me where he wants me to go. As long as my strength is found in him. Second half of that verse, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. There's a lot of strong words in there. Can I get an amen? Look at the other two words just for a moment here. The second word here, and then the strength of his might. The word strength, these two words can both be translated as strong or strength, but they're a little different. The first one is talking about really more of a positional word. It's translated the most often, that first word, in the strength of his might, strength is translated most often as dominion. Everybody say dominion. What dominion is, my beloved, is a realm. How many people live in some type of home? Hopefully everybody here, we got a whole other problem. We'll take up an offering for you. We all live in a home of some type, your house, an apartment, whatever it is, right? You know what that house is? That home is, it's your dominion. That's your place. You pay the bills there. You decide the rules, right? You decide what's good and what's not good, what comes and what goes. You decide somebody knocks on the door. You decide if they come in or they don't come in.
Amen.
Can I get amen? That's your dominion. And what God is saying is like, be strong in the Lord and in the dominion of his strength. Have his might, strength, right? There's a realm that because of what Jesus did, he's inviting us to live in a realm. It's called the kingdom of his dear son. The devil is always trying to pull us back to live in the kingdom of men. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of confusion, the kingdom where he has authority and works and reigns. Can I get an amen? He's called the prince of the power of the earth, not the king of the power of the earth. Prince, meaning there's authority, but he's got to subject himself to the king. We got to understand, church, the devil's got some authority. But I can't stand these Christians that say, oh, you got to be born again, and now we still got to deal with all these other things because, oh, you know, your great-grandfather has cursed you or something. My goodness gracious, man, either the blood of Jesus breaks curses or it does not. Is that true? The only reason, if you've truly been born again, that something's hanging on from your past, is nothing's hanging on from your past. You're making bad decisions now that's continuing to allow that into your life. It had nothing to do with your great-grandfather. Amen. That's just another distraction from the devil. Oh, the reason I'm still doing this is because of my great-great-granddaddy. No, it's because of you. When you stop making that decision, you'll stop allowing that demonic influence into your life.
Amen.
It's good preaching. We're invited, my beloved, by the Lord Jesus to live in his dominion. He is Lord over all. Everybody say all creation, including Satan himself, was created. Amen. This all right? 1 Corinthians 16, let's turn there just for a moment. The second word there literally means might, power, or strength. So we're called to be strong, be empowered in the Lord, and the dominion of his power. Wow. 1 Corinthians 16. Look at this, church. And then we're going to... Alex, is that video ready to roll, man? Thank you. Have it ready just in a moment here. Verse 16, chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. Look at what Paul says here. Be on the alert. Let's read it together, church. Stand. Oh, here we have it again. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Verse 14, Alex, give us some help, bro. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, if we read verse 13 all by itself, man, we can make a mess out of that, can't we? Oh, man, be strong. Act like men. Well, I know some of y'all are married. We know how men can act from time to time. Right, Kevin? Sometimes men can be less than desirable to be around. Never ladies. Ladies, you're always perfect. But men. But what's interesting, this phrase here, you know who he's talking to? He's talking to the entire church, not just to the men. It's not a men's meeting. He's talking to ladies. He's talking to little kids here. So he says to act like men. It's not some kind of gender confusion issue from Paul here thousands of years ago. What he's talking about is think about the greatest attribute that we would think about of men.
Courage.
Courage. Thank you very much. That's exactly the word. Courage, bravery, integrity, right? Be a man, right? And then the very next thing he says, let all that you do be done in love. In 1 Timothy, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he, in his opening statements, he says to Timothy, he says, look, all the things that we've taught, all the teaching you've heard us teach everywhere, the goal of it all is love from a pure heart, genuine faith, and a clear conscience. And then he goes on to say, some men have turned away from these things and have twisted the scriptures around and have done all kinds of damage to the body of Christ. I horribly paraphrase those next two verses, but that's basically what he's saying. Can I get amen, church? So think about this. If the devil is shooting at us, all these flaming arrows and all these things are coming at us, and the devil's constantly knocking us around, and again, we think he's working, he's going after my health, he's going after my money, he's going after my family, he's going after my marriage or my career, my ministry, whatever. Could it be, my beloved, that the devil is actually going after our ability from God to do everything that we do in love? Do you know how many Christians today are acting out of fear and living out of fear rather than living out of love? You cannot, my beloved, live out of fear and live out of love.
Amen.
You can't do it. It's impossible. We have leadership in the body of Christ that is acting out of fear, because you know what fear produces? Control. Insecurity, right? Abuse. I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. We got pastors that are controlling folks because somebody leaves their church and they do all kinds of things. They do all kinds of stuff because they're insecure and afraid.
Amen.
Hurting folks.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Church, I've been here. Still go here sometimes. I get hurt. I get angry. I get discouraged. And I go, blah, blah. We got to understand. What if we realized that the enemy, once he's failed in preventing us from coming to Jesus, that he'll shift his attention to preventing us from becoming like Jesus. We got buildings in this country with thousands of folks come every single week that came to Jesus. I'm going to venture out that we've got a much, much smaller percentage of people that continue the journey to become like Jesus.
Amen.
And can I suggest to you that the devil has won a large victory in those situations? And we don't even know it because folks got saved. Come on, church. Somebody that sits in a church on Sunday is not going to change the world. I don't care what prayer they said and how many times the Holy Ghost touches them. Only folks that want to be like Jesus will influence what's going on around them. Is that true? Alex, can we get that video clip now, bro? This is from Star Wars Episode 8. And if you're not familiar with the movie, this is kind of near the end of the movie here. So this is Luke Skywalker walking out of this bunker to meet all the bad guys.
Stop!
I want every gun we have to fire on that man. Do it.
You got him. Now, if we're ready to get moving, we can finish this.
Sir?
Amen. Ephesians 6:16. Taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The Lord brought me here about 6 weeks ago, church. We've been heading this direction towards this verse right here for 4 weeks straight. That's what the Lord said to me. What don't you understand about all? Wow. Either Paul is telling us the truth or he's not. That our faith, again, not pow faith.
Pow!
Hey, that was, sorry, bro. That, look at pow faith, church. That's not the shield. The shield of faith is that I have built my faith on who God says he is, what God says he will do, every promise, everything, every single thing. God works all things together for good for those who are called, who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's, you know what? You know how many Christians can quote that? And how few actually believe it. That's a good one, man. Most Christians can quote that one. But when we watch how we react to things, that hit us that are not good. It is an indication that we don't believe it as well as we can quote it. Is that true?
Amen.
Years ago, I preached about this, and the Lord, I had this vision. The Lord gave me this vision. And it's like our shield of faith is about the size of my tablet, you know. And we're trying to, you know, it's like this defensive position. But that's not the position, my beloved. It's just, there's another good movie. I didn't show the clip here, but if you've seen The Matrix or not. And at the end of the first one, right, there's The Matrix. It's a great movie. If you've never seen those three movies, they're fabulous movies. It's actually kind of, they pull it out of the Bible story. If you see that in there, some people get freaked out. They think, oh, it's demonic. It's not demonic. The guys that wrote The Matrix, they wrote it from the Bible. It parallels the Bible really, really well if you pay attention to it. Anyway, there's these bad guys, you know, so Neo takes the pill. There's this world that he thinks is real, takes the pill and realizes the world that he thinks is real is not real. And they're under the control of the programs. And they call, the bad guys are the agents. And they have to like phone in, they use these phones and they phone them into this fake system to try to rescue people out of it. But they say, if you run into an agent, they tell him, run, just run. Well, at the end of the movie, he gets trapped by an agent, but he's supposed to be the one. And he can't run anymore, so he decides to fight. And all of a sudden, he realizes who he is, and this agent is trying to hit him, and he literally, just one hand, he starts blocking every punch the agent throws at him. He's almost like yawning. He's like, oh, he's blocking. Like, that's all you got? And at the end of that first movie, Neo actually jumps into an agent and destroys the bad guy from the inside out. Can I get amen? Church, I think what Paul's trying to tell us here, and I don't know if you're catching this or not. Almost done right here. And I know I've said this recently, and a few of you said, oh, Pastor, we shouldn't talk like that. I've heard this for years in a church. You know, I've said things like, oh, bring it on, devil, whatever. Okay, fine. I'm not being arrogant there, but I read my Bible. This is, look, if my shield of faith is built properly, there's not a single flaming arrow of the devil that's going to get me. Amen. That's what it says, right? That we can extinguish. Anybody ever see a fire and you dump some water on it? It extinguishes the fire. If there's a fire in the kitchen, you get the thing out and spray it, right? Can I get amen? You put the fire out. This is what Paul says here. The shield of faith, we can quench, we can extinguish every single idea that the devil has. Yeah? Y'all are so quiet. I think maybe one reason we don't like it is because then we have to take responsibility for why our lives are still messed up. Is that true? See, we like to blame the devil for it, but God's like, no, no, no. The devil got nothing to do with what's going on in your life right now. That's you. Amen. Track with me in closing here. Done right here, church. Notice that Paul doesn't say that God will sovereignly prevent the evil one from shooting arrows in the first place. Doesn't that sound like a better idea? God does not do that. He says, I'm going to let the devil shoot arrows at you all day. Because just like Shayla shared with us from the Chosen movie, right? He says to James, imagine how great your faith looks, is although that your life isn't perfect, God's using you to do something miraculous for somebody else. And you know what, as she's sharing that this morning, I'm thinking about, you know, we see the church in America, the Western culture church has become so polished and such we're so production oriented. And I think that's okay. But the problem is we look at these preachers, these worship leaders, these prophets, and we think, man, their life must be amazing. Their life must be perfect. They are not, my beloved.
Amen.
And some of these real famous preachers are finally coming out and saying, look, my life is not as good as it looks like it is. Is that okay?
Amen.
God, church, is allowing the arrows to fly. And his choice of how to protect us from those arrows to tell us to gear up. In other words, God won't stop the enemy from shooting flaming arrows, but he will strengthen us, equip us, train us, fill us with his spirit and his wisdom so that the enemy's tactics, schemes, plans, and wiles are quenched by our faith like a shield.
Amen.
Imagine being the bad guy in the spaceship there. That's the devil. And he's looking at us like, right? The one guy's like, you think you got him? Right? And then you see, and the guy walks out of the dust and just, he's like, what? How did I not get him? If you watch that movie, it's fabulous. The end of that, I won't spoil it for you, how he does it. Let's stand to our feet. Church, we are living in perilous times. If you don't see that, I'm not sure what you're looking at. And I tell you what, I'm the same, church. I'm not coming down on you. I'm the same. There's times I feel like I'd rather just kind of go, you know, fly under the radar and just try to just mind my own business and, you know, hope the devil won't find me. But that is not the call of God. The call of God is to let your light shine in the darkness. Amen. To stand up and be bold and be confident in who the Lord is. And whatever the devil may decide to throw at us or the enemy or whatever we want to call that, we need to understand that God is with us. Because look, whatever the enemy is going to throw at you, I will not let it pass without making it right. Is that true? Let's pray. Father, we're asking this morning that you'd help us to see the truth in what we've been looking at for the last few weeks. That you don't always protect us the way that we want you to. You don't do things the way we want you to do them all the time. More often than not, I think you don't do things the way that we want you to. Especially not in our timing. But God, I pray for every heart right now that we'd see that there is just such tremendous wisdom in how you do what you do. There's wisdom in your timing. There's wisdom, God, in what you allow to happen and what you don't allow to happen. And your wisdom, Father, is not to make us comfortable and to promote us in a secular sense of the word. And that doesn't mean that you won't, God, but your wisdom is to make us like Jesus, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, standing firm, unshakable, unmovable. We will not back up. Father, those within the sound of my voice that are struggling in their, whatever they might be going through in their life right now, whether it's a family issue or financial issue, whatever it might be. Father, I pray that, we're so easy, we get shaken, and it's easy to do that, all of us, myself included, and we start thinking, oh gosh, well, why isn't God doing this? Why isn't God doing this? Lord, in Jesus' name, I decree right now that all of us, God, whatever we're dealing with right now, that we will stand firm on your word. God will restore this. God will fix this. God will heal this. God will repair what's been broken. God will come through. Jesus' name. Proverbs 28:1 in closing right here. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. There'll be no prayer on Wednesday night this week. Just especially men, help your wives out as they prepare. Amen. And we love y'all. If you need prayer for anything else, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you. Everybody that's with us online this morning, bless you guys. Be healed in Jesus' name. Guys, have an awesome, awesome week. Enjoy your families this week. Amen. Bless you.